We are joined now by longtime NBAer, Olympic gold medalist. He's been on the show before. He's always a great guy to have on. Here is Carlos Boozer. Carlos, how you doing?
Great to be on, guys. How you guys doing? How you guys holding up there?
We're doing okay. Yeah, we're staying safe and healthy, and I guess that's all you can ask for right now. And, you know, we're just saying prior to having you on, we're occupying our time by reliving the Raptors run from a year ago. Is there one game in your career, like if you could only save that one game tape, is there one game that you would save based on either it being a big win or a big performance, maybe your first game in the NBA, which one would you keep?
There's so many games, man, after 13 years in the league. I think if I had to just pick one, it would probably be the gold medal we won in 2008 in China on the Olympic team. I think it was one of those years where, you know, we just had one focus, one goal. Coach K did a great job of putting the team together. We had 12 great players from the NBA that, you know, we had to redeem ourselves. In 2004, we lost and got the bronze medal. So the four of us, me, LeBron, D-Wade, and Melo, were on that 04 team. We didn't play a lot. You know, they played most of the veteran guys. Larry Brown played most of the veteran guys in that 04 Olympics appearance. So we didn't get a lot of playing time to really have a say so on how we did, but you know, we all wanted the chance to be able to play more and get a chance to win a gold medal. So in 2008, when we did get a chance to play more, we won the gold medal. That was probably the one moment. If I only had to pick one game, it's just pretty awesome to represent your country, playing the game that you love, and be able to hear your anthem get played as you get a gold medal put around your neck in front of the entire world. So one of the special moments in sports.
Just hearing how special that moment is for you, how bummed would you be if it was this year? Looking forward to the Olympics, prepping for it, knowing you're going to be part of such a special group on the court, and then all of a sudden it was canceled. How disappointing would that be?
Yeah, it would be. You know, a lot of these people don't realize is the majority of the athletes that qualify for the Olympics have to wait 4 years to get back to it. You know what I mean? They don't get a chance to play on that stage every year. It's a four-year thing. And then that's if you qualify. So, you know, I think because we have this coronavirus and this pandemic and what we have going on, it's the right move to move it back because you have, so this is a global pandemic. This isn't just in America or just in Canada. This is all over the world. And to have multiple athletes from different countries coming to Tokyo in the midst of this pandemic is the wrong time for it because it's so prevalent, it gets transmitted so fast. I think the right decision was made by postponing in a year. But at the same time, I hope that they grant all the players, all the athletes, all the participants that qualified for this year, I hope they grant them access into the Olympics that next summer, because obviously they're deserving of it, especially if they've won qualifying tournaments and matches and meets to be there. But I think it's the right decision just because of what we have going on.
With Carlos Boozer, the American team in 2016 down in Brazil had a pretty famous and well-documented setup. They had a yacht, and they were all living on a yacht. I think a similar setup was in 2012 in London. I don't know if it was on a yacht, but like basically their own hotel, like Four Seasons, top-notch. What kind of lifestyle were you guys living in 2008 at those Olympic Games?
Well, actually, in 04, we did the same thing. We all of us Olympic athletes were on the Queen Mary 2. It's a huge cruise ship, and so us and the women's team, the U.S. volleyball team. I think there was maybe 10 teams that were on the boat and their families. So we did the same thing. We were in Athens, Greece. At the time, we were like in war, out of war at the time. So they were worried about our safety because, you know, at the time we're out of war with other countries. So, but yeah, it was in China. It was very different. You know, everything was peaceful, relatively speaking. And we had a nice hotel, downtown Beijing, and it was beautiful. But the great thing about the Olympics is that they have an Olympic Village where most of the Olympic participants stay at, the athletes stay at. So we would always go down there almost every night just to come hang out, socialize. These are the best athletes from around the world. So you're hanging out with track stars from Brazil. You're hanging out with baseball players, from softball players to, you know, different sports, track stars again. It's so rare that you get a chance to interact with these level of athletes, and they're all in one place at one time. So in my personal experience, I would tell all the athletes that qualified for the Olympics to go hang out at the Olympic Village, enjoy your fellow Olympians, and get a chance to mingle and have some fun and hear the stories of what they went through in their own personal journey to get to where they're at now. pretty cool. And you get to exchange pins and different kinds. It's a pretty awesome experience, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's well documented. I can only imagine being there, especially multiple times like you have been with longtime NBAer Carlos Boozer. So we were talking about this in the past hour, the Michael Jordan documentary and the Bulls documentary.
Wait,
it's going to be outstanding. But we had a different, you know, we all looked at it differently. My two co-hosts were longtime NHL players, so pro athletes in the room, you know, with all their buddies, with all their athletes, living, you know, a sports lifestyle. Me, on the other hand, I'm looking for, you know, more the off the court stuff. I know what Jordan was all about on the court. I want to know off the court. If you were a teammate, though, and you didn't know the theme of this documentary, would you be nervous? Would you be cool with that? I mean, how would you be handling a 10-hour documentary on your team without maybe knowing exactly what the content is going to feature?
I mean, I'd be excited, to be honest. I mean, think about that team, you know, the Last Dance. That was, you know, an iconic team. You know, that group of guys, that group of talent, that coaching staff. I just think it was one of those groups that we look back on in the history of sports that really inspired the next generation of athletes, especially that played basketball. You know, like I think about, you know, I'm 38 years old. I was in high school in the 90s and then obviously on to college and so on. So that team for me, like watching MJ and Scottie and Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson coach and how dominant they were that year. And, you know, they were must-see TV. Trust me, in my house, every game that the Bulls played, I was trying to rush in front of my TV, get my homework done so I could tune in and watch them play. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I'm sure there was a whole generation of basketball fans, sports fans, that were doing the same thing that I was doing. So if I was a teammate back then, I'd be honored, because if ultimately now my kids and friends can see what happened. And you know, you got to remember, this is a team that was so dominant that like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and the next generation of great greatness that came into our sport followed these guys. You know, I mean, think about what LeBron and D-Wade did down in Miami, having two dominant offensive players that were also two dominant defensive players, mimicked what Jordan and Pippen did defensively on those Bulls teams. So I feel like it was an iconic team, and for us to have access to see what they did on the court, off the court, in the locker room, on the plane, traveling, I think it just kind of gives us insight into what our basketball or our sports heroes did. And for me, I'm excited to watch. I can't wait to watch. I'm tuning in every Sunday night to check it out.
It's going to be outstanding. I think you speak for everyone. We're especially considering we don't have live sports and we're all at home and we're waiting for something new. I think this is coming at a perfect time, and they moved it up. It's not a coincidence why they did that. But you were teammates with LeBron. I'm sure you're friends with LeBron. You know, we talk about LeBron maybe more than any other athlete. He is a content machine. Whenever he does anything, even if he doesn't do something, we talk about it. How do you feel about that, though, considering your connection to him? The amount of people that love him, hate. I mean, somehow he's polarizing. I don't quite understand it, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, Bron's amazing, man. Just an incredible guy. When we drafted him in Cleveland his rookie year, we didn't know what we were getting. I mean, I saw him play a few times in high school, watched him play at the ABCD camp when him and Lenny Cook went at it when he was like a junior in high school. But until you get him in practice every day and you really witness his greatness on a day-to-day basis, and then also, you know, obviously I playing against him for so many years as well, seeing the maturation of what he turned into be. I mean, being one of the GOATs of our game, he's probably on that Mount Rushmore of basketball, one of the one, two, or three. It just depends on how you look at the greatest player of all time. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is up there, obviously MJ. Some people love Magic Johnson. LeBron's in that conversation for sure, especially this generation. A lot of you know, my sons and my son's friends, they think LeBron is the best player of all time, but what they don't realize is he's also one of the best teammates of all time. I mean, he one of his biggest talents, maybe his best asset, is passing. It's incredible how many points he's been able to score when he loves to pass the ball. He loves to see his teammates score. He's always been okay with being the quarterback and getting the assists. Never, ever complained about having another teammate's name in the paper. He's one of those guys that makes your entire team better on a super high level because he's driven and he's so talented. You know, he goes to 8-9 finals in a row, beats the Golden State Warriors, which is maybe the best basketball team ever with that group of talent. I mean, that's arguable, of course. There have been some great NBA teams, but Now, they went to the finals 5 years in a row. His 2016 team beats them. Very impressive. But LeBron, as a teammate, one of those guys that always okay to, you know, get the bill at dinner or, you know, come in with gifts for everybody. He had a Beats by Dre deal, gets everybody headphones and speakers every year, great Christmas gifts. Never felt like he was above the team, even though he was by far the best player as soon as he got drafted. Was never a guy that looked down on other people. That's who LeBron is. And then think about what he's done for our community outside of basketball, opening up the I Promise School, giving kids an opportunity that are less fortunate to have a great education, also get a free education in college if you graduate from that school. Just by that, doing that alone, like leading the charge in that respect, is remarkable. He's been an incredible father, very good husband, great role model, great ambassador for our game. But what I tell my kids is that, and they all know Bron as Uncle Bron, but he's an incredible teammate. So no matter how good you get individually, because, you know, we're all athletes, raising athletes. All our kids aspire to be athletes as well. So we're teaching them different jewels at different times. What I tell them is no matter how good you are, you're only as good as the 12th guy on your team, the 15th guy on your team. So if you need to put some time in with him, help rebound for him. LeBron would do that. If you felt like your shot was off, he'll go to the gym with you and rebound for you while you get your jumper right. How many superstars would do that?
Wow.
We got ball boys, we got managers, we got other people that we can call on. He'll be in the gym with you. I remember being in Cleveland, and after his rookie year, one of our teammates was Sagana Jop. Awesome defensive player, big time rebounder. I think he's a scout now for the Jazz or an assistant coach for the Jazz now. But he would constantly invite us to Akron to play pickup every weekend. Like, you know, it's summertime, we got to get better. Come to Akron, we get good workouts in, we get pickup every weekend. Like, he was that's. And then at the same time, fast forward 2008 Olympic team, we're getting up in the morning every day because of Kobe Bryant. Wanted us all to work out at 7 a.m. and get a lift in. We're there every day, 7 a.m. LeBron was the first guy in the door with Kobe. The rest of us doing the same thing. He's that kind of leader where he'll put the extra time in for you to get better, but also obviously for himself, but for you to get better. You know what I mean? I think that just speaks volumes of the kind of teammate that he is.
So if there was a documentary behind the scenes, much like the Bulls, what's happening in a couple weeks here, and LeBron was the center of attention, obviously, how far would he go to let people into his life and understand what's going on, whether it's be going out on the road, dinners and stuff? Like, when would he tell the cameras, okay, you're not following me now?
Think about that. That's a great question. But think about it. And this Jordan documentary that's coming out, there was no social media. I mean, there. I don't. It wasn't like this. I don't know if Facebook was out or anything.
No, not even close.
But there was no social media. You know what I mean? So think about LeBron has always been the guy, the kid from Akron, the guy that would always let you in. He's at home doing TikTok videos with his family. He's bringing you on vacation. He's always been inviting. He's always been a fan favorite because he lets you in. He's never said no to an interview, never said no to a fan signing autographs, even though he had crazy Upper Deck deals and different, I can't remember who all he signed with. He has so many endorsements, but he's always been the engaging superstar, letting other people see his life. He's so active on social media. He's always tweeting out. He's watching other sports. He's watching other games. He's cheering on other friends in the game as well. He's never been a hater, so to speak. He's always been a very welcoming superstar. And I think if there was a documentary on him, I think he'd let them all in. Like, come out, come hang out with us. Watch us as we play cards. Watch us as we go to the pool. Watch us work out. Watch us go have dinner. He's that kind of guy because you can tell by his social media, he's already that way.
You can find him on Twitter, at Instagram, at Mr. Seaboos, and he's a great follow on both, and he's always great to have on the show. We really appreciate the insight, and stay safe, stay healthy. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Carlos.
Anytime, guys. Stay safe up there. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Carlos Boozer, always great to have on.
What a great guest.
Yeah, yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's cool what he said about LeBron, too. Like really paints a picture about the teammate stuff. We don't talk about that a lot because he's so isolated. We just talk about LeBron versus, like, Jordan, right, and Kobe and Magic. We don't even discuss LeBron and his relationship with the seventh or eighth guy in the rotation and, you know, treating him well. And, like, it's so easy to, if you're LeBron James, like, you know, everyone looks at you differently than your teammates. Like, as great as they might be, even when he was in Miami and Dwayne Wade owned Miami. He's a Hall of Famer, an all-time great. That was LeBron's team. Like, everyone's talking about LeBron. LeBron knows it. Everyone knows. LeBron knows everyone's looking at him first and then whoever is second in line. But if he treats people well and treats people equally and hooks you up in practice and, you know, Christmas gifts and all that kind of stuff, that's going to go a long way, you know, well after he plays or well after he retires, because you're going to get teammates like Carlos Boozer pumping his tires constantly.
No, it's a different side. Like, we forget sometimes. Like you say, we judge, you know, LeBron from him talking third person and some of his social media posts, and then you get a guy who's tight with him telling you kind of behind the scenes, like, nah, this guy is salt of the earth. It's nice to have a positive story sometimes when you get in your head what a person's, you know, what you think they're like, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So that was great. We always appreciate Carlos Boozer joining us.